Good morning. So good to see you this morning out on this beautiful Sunday morning as we come together to worship God. I appreciate you for coming and being part of the Boones Mill Church of the Brethren worship service this morning. We pray that those that are visiting, we hope that you can come back and be with us at other times as well. You're always welcome. I'm glad that you're here this morning as we continue in our series of Connecting with God. Part 7 today, the prayer of deliverance. You know, I assume that after you woke up this morning and you decided you were going to come to church and you started church today and you came with good intentions to be here with the intentions to have a blessed day. But will it be so? Do you ever feel like there's a tug of war going on inside of you? And you really want to do something good, but you end up disappointing yourself. And you end up disappointing God. You came here today with good intentions. So why would it be that you might end up doing things that you know are bad for you? If your life is going to break free from the stuff that messes you up, it's going to take more than good intentions. Good intentions are never good enough. Good intentions with no positive follow-through leads to hypocrisy. You know, a hypocrite is one who has good intentions, who pretends to live above others. You have good intentions, but you have no power to live out those intentions and to do the good things that you pretend you want to do and the way you are. That's why we need to talk about this morning. That's why we need to talk about temptation, why we need to talk about the prayer of deliverance. We often think that temptation is an enticement to do something evil, something wicked, something nasty. You know, that the really bad stuff. That's what we often think sin is. We think about murder and adultery and lying and those kind of things, and we say that's sin. Yet we tend to think that the temptation is just about the big things in life, the forbidden, the evil things that we label in life. But actually, Satan is much more subtle than that. You can train your mind to think that certain things aren't so bad. I bet you there are many people in this hearing this morning, in this congregation, are doing things that they think are all right, but in God's eyes, is sin. Here are some temptations that I call subtle temptations. Now, I don't know if you deal with any of these, but I do. The temptation to do what works, not necessarily the right thing, but what works. The temptation to do what's easy, not necessarily what's best. The temptation to do what is advantageous for me, but not necessarily what is best for others. The temptation to do what's unimportant, not necessarily to do what really matters in life, to do what God would have us to do. The temptation to do what's right, but do it for the wrong reason. The temptation to do nothing. When you see something and you see others in need and you could help them and you could do something about the things that are going on in the world, but you don't do it. The truth is, temptation is a lot more subtle than we think it is. But the answer to temptation that we experience in life is what we find in the prayer of deliverance where Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, which is, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's the prayer of deliverance. And it always leads us to a path of escape. When we pray that God deliver us from evil, God will give us a path to where we can follow that and we can overcome that. What is the path of escape? In 1 Corinthians, it says that the temptations that come into your life are no different from what others experience. Now, let's stop right there. If you say nobody knows what I'm going through, you're wrong. The temptations that come your way are no different than what others experience. We all have the same basic temptations in life. Now, you're not unique in the fact that you're tempted. We all are tempted. Some of your temptations, of course, are more unique, but temptation itself is not unique. We all get tempted. They're not any difference in the fact that we're being tempted. And then the scripture says, and God is faithful. He will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. God says, I will always make a way out. I will never allow more on you than I put in you so that you can bear it. When somebody says, you know, I just couldn't help myself. I was overcome. I was overwhelmed. Blah, blah, blah. Whatever it might be, the excuse that is given, they're not telling the truth. Because the truth is, temptation is a choice. And you only do what you choose to do. So don't blame anybody else. Don't blame anything else. Temptation is a choice to either do right or to do wrong. So here's the point of this message today, is make the right choices when you're tempted. What are the steps of the path of escape using the prayer of deliverance? Well, first of all, I must identify what makes me vulnerable. Notice I didn't say identify what tempts you. You know what tempts you. You know what would cause you to fall and to fail. You know what tempts you. But what I'm asking you to identify what makes you vulnerable to be tempted. What makes you have perhaps not thought through what causes you to be tempted in the first place? What makes you vulnerable to that temptation? What makes you weak? Jesus said in Matthew, he said, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Now, the spirit is willing, but the body is weak, Jesus said. So, in other words, you may be willing, you may want to overcome your temptation, but your willpower is not enough. No lasting change in the way we live ever happens to be able to overcome temptation with just willpower. I'm just not going to do that. I'm just going to be strong. No, willpower is not enough. It won't work. Jesus says, watch and pray. And so we're called upon to pray, but you're not just to pray, Lord, deliver me from evil. Lord, help me. You have to watch what it is that causes you to be tempted in the first place. What do you need to watch for? You need to watch for the circumstances that make you vulnerable. You need to identify those, and you need to recognize them. It's why some things tempt you, but they don't tempt other people. It's because that we're all made up different and we all have different temptations. So we need to identify what it is that tempts me. So where do the temptations in your life come from? What tempts you? Some are caused by nature, your fallen nature, your own sin nature. And some are caused by nurture, it's the way you grew up, the way you were taught. the things that you saw in your home and as you grew up. Some are caused by your environment. Some are caused by your character and your personality and your DNA. Some are caused by your circumstances. And what I'm saying is this, you don't get to choose your temptations. And what does that mean? The implication of that is you cannot be self-righteous about anybody else's temptation. So when you see somebody getting tempted by drugs or getting tempted by gossip or being tempted by pornography or whatever the temptation might come, the fact is they're all the same thing. Now, one is no better or one is no less evil than the others. We have a tendency to say, oh, well, you know, if that person is doing that, they are a sinner. That's a sinful thing. But we can do some things and we not think it's so bad. We pick and choose what sin is. But the Bible says sin is sin. So you have no right to judge and say, well, my sins are okay, but not you. Yours are nasty. What you're doing, that's terrible. How could anybody do that? That's self-righteous. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We like to point fingers and tell other people that how bad they are, and we're no better than they are. Except we're worse off because we don't recognize we're as bad as they are and don't realize how much we need the Lord for forgiveness and guidance as well. What I'm saying is that you have a pattern of vulnerability and you better figure out what it is. Because I want to tell you for sure, Satan knows what is vulnerable for you. And Satan knows those vulnerable points and he is plotting from the moment you wake up and get out of bed, he is working against you. You need to identify what makes you vulnerable. And you need to know what those emotional triggers are. And step one is to identify what makes you vulnerable. And it's not just praying and asking for help, but it's to watch, to identify, to understand that these things is what I have to be careful with. And then once you know what that pattern is, once you know what makes you vulnerable, then here's step number two. I must plan to avoid it. You don't wait until you're in a situation to decide, am I going to give in to this or not? That's not the time to decide, what am I going to do? No, you decide before your emotions kick in on you. The Bible says, plan carefully what you do. Avoid evil. Walk straight ahead. Don't go one step off the right way. Temptation always begins within a natural desire that's inside of you. Often temptation is fulfilling a legitimate desire in the wrong way or at the wrong time or in the wrong amount. You have a natural desire, for example, to eat. You have a need to eat. But you can sin in the way you eat. Where do you think you got the desire to eat? God gave it to you. It's a natural desire. It's a natural need. Those are not evil in the desire. What is temptation? Temptation is when we abuse or misuse something that God has given us for good. So temptation, what it does, it turns a routine desire, whether that's food or sex or things that we do in life, whatever that is, it when it turns that into a routine desire in a runaway way, in a runaway desire. It's the wrong time. It's the wrong way. It's the wrong amount. And any good God-given desire out of control becomes sin. So the first thing we need to do is to identify what makes us vulnerable. Second, we need to plan to avoid those things. And here's step number three, I must guard my heart. This is very, very important because the Bible says that out of our heart, everything comes. Out of the heart, a man speaks. Out of the heart, all the issues of life come. And above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. In Proverbs 4, temptation always starts inside of you. We think temptation is on the outside. It's what we see. It's what we experience. But no, that's not it. The trigger is on the outside, but the temptation is actually inside you. If there were no natural temptations inside you, it wouldn't have any attraction for you. The Bible says in James, we are tempted by our own desires that drag us off and trap us. And look at the next verse. It says, it is inside you, out of a person's heart. Now, that's why you have to guard your heart. It is out of the heart that comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, the desire to kill people, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceitfulness. That's when you manipulate other people, when you're being deceitful to them. Lust, envy, slander, arrogance, foolishness. All of these vile things come from not outside, but inside. When I look around the world and I see the mass shootings and the hatred and the anger and the language and the way people treat each other and the greed and the selfishness and the arrogance, it makes me realize, what's going on in our world? Why is this? It's because of what's going on in people's heart. It's because they're not close to God. They're not following God. They're not letting God transform them into the person that He wants them to be. If you're serious about breaking some bad habits or breaking a bad temptation, you've got to do a heart checkup. The Bible says, do not give the devil a foothold. And how do you give the devil a foothold in your life? Well, it's a mental state. It's a negative emotion. Anytime you hold a negative emotion in your life for any extended period of time, whether it's anger or whether you worry or whether you have some kind of fear or you have bitterness, or envy, or jealousy, or whatever negative thing that might be, the longer you hold on to that negative thing in your life and allowing the evil of that negative thing to get a hold of you, it gets a deeper, deeper hold in your life. So you've got to guard your heart from that. First, you need to identify what makes you vulnerable. Second, you need to plan to avoid those things. And third, you need to guard your heart. And here's the fourth thing that you need. I need to pray for deliverance. And what I mean by that is you need to ask God's help. The Bible tells us that God is ready. You're being tempted and you need help. God is here. He's ready. He'll help you. He wants to help you. He says we are to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's the prayer of deliverance that Jesus taught His disciples. You need to ask God for that help. The prayer of deliverance is often just one word, help. God, help. God, help me. The Bible is full of examples of people who prayed that in times of need, when they needed to be delivered from temptation. King David prayed that prayer. Daniel prayed that prayer. The Apostle Peter prayed that. The Apostle Paul prayed that. God provided assistance for anybody who asked and who were sincere. Why can I expect God to help me when I pray with the way I fail and the failures I have and the things I do wrong? Why should I expect God to help me when I pray the prayer of deliverance? Because God has promised it. He said, that's what I want to do. He said, that's what I want to give. In Psalm 50, it says, call upon me in your day of trouble, and I will deliver you. And there, then you will honor me. God says, you don't have to have a long conversation. You don't have to pour out everything for a long prayer. All you have to do is say, God, help. I need to pray that prayer, and I need to pray it every hour. Lord, help. God knows everything that's going on in your life. He knows the things that tempt you. In fact, look at this verse. Jesus understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same temptation we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to our gracious God, and then we will receive his mercy and grace to help us when we need it. Notice he says Jesus understands. Did you know that? Do you know whatever is tempting you that Jesus understands that? Why? Because Jesus faced the same temptation. Jesus was tempted to get angry. Jesus was tempted to have self-pity. Jesus had sexual temptations. Every basic temptation, the Bible says, he was tempted on all the ways that we. Yet he did not sin. Now that's the difference. He made the right choices. He never gave in. He had the freedom to choose to do it differently. How do you know that Jesus had the freedom to choose? Don't we often think, well, Jesus is God. He had to be perfect because he was God. He had no other choice. Oh, yes, he did have choices. He didn't have to do and choose what he did. He didn't have to go to the cross and die for you or me. He had the freedom to choose, even at the cross, what he would do. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was praying because he was struggling with that. He was saying, God, I don't want to go through this time of crucifixion and death. I don't want to have to take upon all this penalty of this sin. He was struggling with it. And he said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. So Jesus had a choice. And in John 6, it says, I didn't come to do my will. I came to do the will of the Father. He was God in a human body. But even better, he had the choice to choose, and he never sinned because he made the right choices. He can help you and me to overcome whatever we struggle with. All we need to do is come and say, I need your help, Lord. God isn't ticked when you get tempted. Now let me emphasize that. We all are tempted, and God isn't ticked when we get tempted. God understands that. He knows that you will be tempted, and he's ready there to help. So he says, when that happens, call upon me. Pray the prayer of dependence and deliverance, that is. So first, you identify your vulnerabilities, then you plan to avoid them, and then you guard your heart, and then you pray and ask God's help. And here's the last thing I want to share with you today, and that is, I must turn my attention elsewhere. I change the direction of my thoughts. I refocus on something else. I shift my attention. You know, when you're sitting in front of the television and you're watching something and something comes on television that you don't like, what do? Do you just sit there and watch it? Well, you could, but I hope you don't. I hope you just pick up the remote and flip the channel and watch something else that you do want to watch. Well, that's sort of like what I'm saying here about temptation, that you just flip the channel. You flip your attention. That's what you need to do when temptation comes. Here's the secret to temptation. When you're being tempted, you don't fight it. You refocus. You don't resist it and say, no, I'm going to overcome this. I am going to do this. I ain't going to do this. You refocus. Did you know in the Bible, not once are you told to resist temptation? We are told to resist the devil. And that's a whole different issue. The key to overcoming temptation is not to push back against temptation and say, oh, I won't do that, I won't do that. It's not that, it's to change my focus. When I get a new focus, all of a sudden, that which had my attention, I forget about it. And it's not that I'm resisting it. I'm not saying, no, I'm not going to do this, I don't want to do this. I just forget about it because I'm refocused. That's the principle works in every single area of our life. Whatever gets your attention gets you. The battle for sin always starts in the mind. That's why the Bible says, thinking about your word, Lord, thinking about your commands will keep me from doing some foolish things. That's why I encourage you to read the Bible every day, because we need to get our mind and our thoughts upon God, and we need to focus on Him every day, because that will prevent us from doing some very foolish things. Why? Because if I'm thinking about God's word and His commands, if I'm thinking about the truth, then I'm not thinking about all the other dumb stuff that I probably will get into. Have you ever looked over a cliff and you've been up real high and you looked over the cliff and you felt like you were being drawn to fall off? It's kind of like you're being pulled off as you look over. It's because whatever you focus on pulls you. And it's true in every single area of your life, good or bad. You focus on good things in life, godly things in life, true things in life, it's going to pull you in that direction. And if you focus on bad things in life, dishonest things, false things, it's going to pull you in that direction. Whatever you focus on, get your attention. And whatever gets your attention eventually will get you. Now, I don't know if you've realized this, but the more you think about something, the more it controls you, the more it upsets you, and it gets worse and worse. The first time you think about something that has happened to you, something that hurt you, you say, oh, you know, that really hurt me. It upset me. And then you begin to think about it more and more, and you say, well, you know what? That really did hurt me. That really did get under my skin. And then you think about it some more and some more, and you say, man, I am really mad, and I've been really hurt by that. By the time you've thought it over and over, it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. So whatever is tempting you, whether it's food or gossip or sex or anything else, whatever you focus on is going to pull you in that direction. So the key is to change your mind and change your focus. So you don't fight a temptation. You turn your mind on to something else. We capture every thought and make it obey Christ. Now, friends, that's the secret to overcoming temptation, but we're not good at that. We're not very good at that at all, capturing our thoughts and turning it over to Christ, because that takes practice. And it's always a choice. You can't always control the way you feel, but you can control what you think. And if you change the way you think, it changes the way you feel, and that will change the way you act. In Romans 12, it says, don't let evil conquer. Don't let it conquer you, but conquer evil with good. That's the principle of replacement. Fill your mind with truth and good thoughts and good things, and put your eyes on Jesus. And it pushes all of the other junk and mess and temptations out of your mind. And this pattern of thinking is not easy, but it is possible if you will practice it. You can learn how to do it. Following Christ does not exempt you from temptation. If you came in here this morning, you said, I'm a Christian. I've received Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm good to go. If you think because you're a Christian, you will not be tempted and you cannot fall, then brothers and sisters, you are in a very precarious place. On this earth, you're never going to be sinless. But it is possible to sin less when you put your eyes on Jesus. In James, it says, my dear friends, if you know people who've wandered off from God's truth, don't write them off. Go after them. Get them back, and you will have rescued precious lives. Friends, do you know somebody in your life who's struggling right now and who needs your help, and you need to go after them? If you love them, you'll go after them, and you'll love them unconditionally, and you'll listen to their confession, and you will help them take their eyes off of their sin and their problems and put their eyes on Jesus. And when you do that and you encourage them, by God's grace and His Spirit, you will bring them back to where they need to be. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, as we come to you today, I'm going to ask everyone here to pray this prayer with me if we need a change, if you're ready for change. We just pray, dear God, you know all the habits and temptations in my life that trip me up, and you know the tempting situations I'm facing right now, and you even know the temptations that lay ahead of me this week that I don't even know about yet. So I'm asking for your help. I'm praying the prayer of deliverance. Lord, help me. And I'm willing to follow the path of your principles of escape so I can change, so I can be free. Oh God, help me to clearly see the pattern in my life that leads to temptation. And give me the strength to plan to avoid them. Help me to refocus my attention on other things when I'm tempted. Most importantly, Lord, I need you to do some heart surgery on me right now. Oh God, forgive me for my failures, my sin. I come to you now, Lord, that you change my heart. Remove the negative emotions that make me vulnerable and replace them with your love and your forgiveness and your trust. Oh God, help me to keep my eyes on you. And I ask you, Jesus, to start that changing inside of me right now, today. I come to you that you might change me. And I pray this in your name. Amen.
When it hurts too much to see, keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. When you're lost in the dark, keep your eyes on me. When the light in your heart is too burned out to see, keep your eyes